When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it left, throws it wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan. W-F-A-N.
What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's your boy Big Zoo, a.k.a. Eddard Zooming, coming to you live right here on WFAN in New York City. And I will be guiding you through the overnight right up until 4 a.m. So if you want to get a part of the zoo for the next 4 hours, the number to dial is 888-808-1019. Alex Zarm will be answering your phone calls all night long. Right up until my guy Al Cintron, T-O-L, comes your way at 4 a.m. But ladies and gentlemen, I got to get right on into this because we are 7 days away from the NFL, or the New York Giants, kicking off their season right here at MetLife Stadium versus the Minnesota Vikings. And I can already smell the sausages on the grill. I can already smell those dogs, those burgers. Oh, man, I can't wait for the tailgating to get started. But I have this feeling in my gut about this New York Giants team and this season for the New York Giants. And I just feel like it's going to be a long, long year for this team. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to get off to a bad start. So those hot dogs and those sausages that you can already get that whiff of, those daddy sodas, those mixed adult beverages that you may be consuming that morning, they are not going to go to waste. I think this team does have skill. I think they do have talent. And I think against a team like Minnesota in the opening week, they're going to be able to get a win. But the thing that this team does not have, and a thing that teams that go to the playoffs, teams that win, teams that, you know, are able to compete, things that they have is depth. And that's something the New York Giants do not have a lot of. While their first team is incredible, I mean, look at the defensive line. I just got to be honest. The first team on the defensive line is incredible. And that front seven is great with Okereke anchoring it at the linebacker. But when you got Dexter Lawrence, possibly the best defensive tackle in all of football, sitting in there in the middle of that line, with Thibodeau, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Brian Burns on the outside, this is going to be a defense that wreaks havoc on the opposing quarterbacks. But when those guys start to get tired, when teams start to figure them out, if they scheme guys out of the game, the Giants don't have the depth to rotate. The Giants don't have the depth to accommodate an injury on that defensive front or in that front seven. They just don't have the talent. The Giants, on the offensive side of the ball, have done a hell of a job repairing that offensive line. And I will give credit where credit is due to Joe Shane. And I think Joe Shane had a great offseason. This offensive line is one that can produce and one that could potentially give a good quarterback a chance to get their team into the playoffs. Unfortunately for the Giants, the guys that are sitting behind that first group, I mean, not to get anybody PTSDs of last couple of seasons here, but Evan Neal sitting there still. You still have guys that are not even, I mean, competent to be playing in the NFL on this Giants roster, sitting in these positions of depth where they're going to need them most at certain parts of this year. I mean, no team goes throughout the season without injuries, and the Giants are a team that can't afford to take any injuries, let alone any major ones. This team is built for the front half of the season. And I think those first two games are two games where the Giants are going to come out swinging. Take one from Minnesota at home in that home opener. And then you got the Washington Commanders with a rookie quarterback sitting there in week two, ripe for the pickings. I think the Giants are able to start out 2-0 here nice and easy. But after that, this schedule is brutal. And I think it's going to take its toll. When they get into the bye week and it's 3-7 and they're sitting there with some injuries and with some guys underperforming and with some guys overperforming too, to be fair to them, they're going to be looking back and they're going to say, all right, this is why we're failing. We don't have depth And the real reason that I think that the Giants are going to have a very long season, and that is that they don't have the quarterback on this roster, mainly Daniel Jones. And I know everybody wants to give Daniel Jones a little bit of room here. I know we want to act like Daniel Jones still has an opportunity to prove himself to the Giants and to Joe Shane and to Brian Daboll to be the starting quarterback of his team and to be the quarterback of the Giants of the future. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not happening. Daniel Jones, he's not good enough to take this team to the playoffs the way that this team is going to play this season. He has no Saquon Barkley. He is coming off of a massive knee surgery. This team is built to throw the ball downfield, and that is exactly what Brian Daboll is going to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, Daniel Jones is not built to get the ball downfield. Daniel Jones is not the quarterback for the New York Giants, and they will realize that at some point during this season. We'll get to that a little bit later on here in the show. But I just wanted to touch on that a little bit early because Daniel Jones is going to be the issue with this team, because when you look at the Giants roster and you look at him, you look at Drew Locke, you look at Tommy DeVito, they don't have a guy that is going to be a starting quarterback of this team next season on this roster right now. They don't. And that's a problem. But that's also an excuse. But mainly it's a problem, and that's why this team is not going to have a great season. It's going to be long. It's going to be tenuous. It's going to be a lot of complaining, not about the offensive line anymore, because Daniel Jones has the offensive line. It's not going to be a complaint about the receivers anymore, because Daniel Jones has the receivers. It's going to be a complaint about the depth pieces that this team has, and it's going to be complaints about Daniel freaking Jones. Daniel freaking Jones, who has proven to us over his entire career that he is a mediocre, at best, starting quarterback in the NFL. Now, I get it. He can run. He can put up a couple hundred yards rushing with a couple of touchdowns, but that has taken its toll on his body. Look at the amount of head and neck injuries that this man has had throughout his career. Look at the lower body injury that he is coming off of. He is not going to be able to be a runner anymore. So if you want to come and you want to act like he's going to be able to supplement his passing statistics with those running stats anymore, it's just not going to happen. The days of Daniel Jones being a real runner, those are in the past of us. The past of us. That's in the past. But Daniel Jones is going to have to be a pocket passer now, and he's going to have to throw for 3,500 yards, which is something he's never done in his career. His career best, 3,205, which was in 2022, of course, under Daboll. That was, quote-unquote, his best season, a season in which they really didn't let him do very much with the football, which is what leads to getting you efficient numbers like that. But it doesn't lead to you putting up 3,500 yards and 20-plus touchdowns. 20-plus touchdowns, one thing that he has done once in his career. He has only thrown 20 touchdowns once. That was in his rookie year, 2019. He threw 24 tutties. Now, something that he does do a lot of is turn the ball over. He's had 86 turnovers in 60 career games. Let's just marinate in that for a second. Daniel Jones is going to be a problem, the same problem that he has been in the past. You may want to blame the offensive line. You may want to blame the lack of receivers. You may want to blame a coach. You may want to blame the Giants as an organization. It ain't none of that. It's that Daniel Jones is not him. Daniel Jones is not that guy. And that was proven, if it wasn't proven last year in that Seattle Seahawks game, where he threw the ball directly to the corner, essentially for a 100-yard touchdown to the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. It wasn't proven then. It should have been proven in the preseason this year when he threw that atrocious pick six in the first game. Daniel Jones is not the guy. It doesn't matter if the Giants want to get a great offensive line with him, if they have a great quarterback, a great running back with him, great receivers with him. He is not the guy. And it's not going to happen. Yeah. The Giants are in for a tough one this year. I can't see it really going any other way. And I know Daboll and Shane will be safe because the scapegoat of Daniel Jones is right there for them. But there's going to be a lot more things that go into the Giants' failure this year than just Daniel Jones, even though he will be the biggest thing. And we'll continue talking about him a little bit in detail after the break. But right now, I want to get to your busy calls here. 888-808-1019. My man, Stan in Westport, Connecticut. Stan, what is up, brother? How you doing tonight?
I'm great, Zoo. And I just want to shout out to you and all the people out there. If they haven't heard you host it, you're awesome. I've heard you a few times. But also the work you do as producer for so many of the shows. I mean, you're just amazing. And you make all the hosts so much better.
Stan,
and,
you're far
you know,
kind,
you know brother. Your stuff.
You're
you know
far
your
too
stuff.
Kind, brother. You're far too kind.
I mean, you did your homework right here with the Giants. Listen, I'm a Giants fan since the 70s, and I got to tell you, there were a couple of games last year that were the worst football games performance by an NFL team I've ever seen. And I'm talking about the 0-4 Tampa Bay Bucks as a startup. I'm talking about the Aints with the bags on their head. I'm talking about worse than the Joe Pazarczyk fumble against the Eagles. At least in that game, we had the lead. We got beat
You're
at MetLife. Yeah, right? Remember? We got beat at MetLife 40-0 by the Cowboys. We had a game with negative passing yards
yep.
for the game.
Yep.
And, you know, you touched on a lot of important stuff about the offense. Yes, the line is improved, but you hit it. On the best day, he's still going to be mediocre. Here's the other thing. I just blame Dable's teams. Last year, they were not prepared. And the other thing is, and I know they had to switch off on the defensive coordinator and Martindale's out and all that, but they can't even basic tackle. They showed that in the Jets game again. They can't tackle
yeah,
in the secondary.
Stan, I'm not going to put too much of that into the preseason. It's the preseason. I don't think guys are turned up 1,000%. You know, I don't think guys are really going crazy on the tackles there. I think they're more trying to wrap up and take guys down than they're trying to really, you know, really go for it. So I'm not going to – once we see week one versus Minnesota, if they're still having those issues – then we can start talking about what the heck is going on with Brian Daboll and these training camps that he runs, because that'll be 2 years in a row where this team comes out and gets smoked because their inability to tackle, which is
directly
on the defensive coordinator and by virtue the head coach, because it'll be two different defensive coordinators and defensive staffs at that point.
That's right. And let me leave you with one last thing, because I know you got calls backing up. What team's GM in the history of your time watching football and studying it and being in the business that you're in, what team have you ever seen that signed a quarterback, never mind the number, even though it was $140 million, and immediately upon signing that quarterback, go out there actively, overtly, without any disguise, looking for his replacement? Because that's what Shane did. I mean...
You're not wrong, Stan, and it sounds crazy when you say it, and I appreciate the call, brother. Thank you for being the first one on the line here tonight. But that's what they did. They had to. They had to do it. If the Giants would have let Daniel Jones walk that year after what we saw from him in that first season with Dable and what Dable was able to do with him and the success that they did have, you had to at least run it back. The fact of the matter is, you can look at that year. He had 15 touchdowns. I said it before. He had 3,200 yards passing. That's not enough to be a top-end competitor in the NFL. That's not enough to go up against the best teams in the NFC. That's not enough to beat a team like the 49ers, because this Giants team can't be one-dimensional anymore, and they have to pass the ball a hell of a lot more than they have in the past, and they're paying Daniel Jones to pass the ball. Joe Shane said enough in the Hard Knocks that we saw. Joe Shane said he's getting paid. We're going to rely on him. And now I know that doesn't mean to run the football, because he's coming off of massive knee surgery, and he has... I mean, let's just be honest, chronic head and neck injuries as well. You're not going to see Daniel Jones run a lot. If he wants to be successful, if he wants to be back on this Giants team next year, he's going to need to throw for more than 3,500 yards, and he's going to need to throw for 20-plus touchdowns. That is the bare minimum. 888-808-1019. Back to the phones. Drew in Massapequa. Drew, what's happening, bro?
Big Ed, what is happening, my friend? How are you?
We're living good, my friend. Where would you rather be at 12:17 on a Saturday night, Sunday morning?
Honestly, I don't know if I can answer that question on the phone. I don't want to get you jammed up.
Hey, listen, okay, man, I hope I'm a good second place runner-up.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was talking to the whomever answers the calls. Actually, you got me all pumped up talking about the sausages and the tailgate, and then you took a left turn, and you went right down Negative Street, man. What's
yeah.
And I understand where you're coming from, right? My family's had season tickets for the G-Men for 60 years. It's a family thing. You know, we get together every Sunday when they're on the road. I go to, you know, a handful of games a year, blah, blah, blah. And I am trying to temper expectations, especially after last year, because the year before we had the big Vikings win, and I was all jazzed up, and then 40-0 drubbing opening night. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, that was about as bad as it could get. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Right.
That was as bad as it could get, and I mean, nobody saw that coming for that team last season, and honestly, I think they were a hell of a lot better than that. But when you have dysfunction going on behind the scenes, you have, I mean, just honestly, I've been saying it this entire time, you have Daniel Jones playing quarterback for this team when Daniel Jones is not going to be able to handle the workload of being a proper NFL quarterback. Basically, what the Giants did with him to make the playoffs in 2022 was have him play like a backup, essentially, running the ball, taking very minimal opportunities, and using his legs as much as he could. He's
not. You think we all drank too much Kool-Aid because of the playoff performance? You think we drank too much Kool-Aid that night?
I think if they don't win that playoff game, I think a lot more Giant fans are seeing Daniel Jones for what he is right now.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think that's a very fair point. The one thing I do, a couple things, and I tend to be a scatterbrain. I'll try to keep it as linear as possible. Number one, I was at that Seattle game, the 100-yard INT. Wow. Oof. I've been to some bad breaks. I've been at some bad. That was one of the worst experiences.
He threw a Sean Jackson return.
That's the ultimate, but that was terrible last year.
I mean, like, listen, sometimes it happens. You throw a ball in the end zone, end of the half, or you put a ball up and you're just hoping that, you know, one of your big guys is going to be able to go up and get it. That was none of that. He threw it directly to the dude. It was unfreaking believable. Like, it frustrates me because you see that type of play from Daniel Jones, and then you hear the type of leash that he's getting from Joe Shane. I don't know what it is really behind closed doors, and you saw them in Hard Knocks shopping around a little bit,
although who knows how true that
was. But this guy, he just can't read the NFL. He can't play the quarterback position from a fundamental standpoint. He doesn't process well enough.
No doubt. And I think, again, fair evaluation. I just can't, because it's like the beginning of the year and, you know, anything can happen, you know, like all the cliches you want to throw in there. I can't bring myself to just be like so negative, like, you know, from the jump. But I think expectations do need to be tempered. We had a family gathering this afternoon, and I was saying, like, if the offense is going to excel, because the front seven, which you touched on, I cannot wait to
see
the front seven get after it. Oh, yeah. And you know what? One of the things that I'm most stoked about is Micah McFadden. I mean, when was the last time the Giants developed a late-round defensive draft pick into, you know, someone worth mentioning? And I don't think that's he's talked about enough. I'm super stoked to see if Micah McFadden can continue to improve. Any thoughts on that?
No, Drew, that's a great call, and I appreciate you bringing up Micah McFadden, because he's a guy that I can vividly remember getting crushed by Carl Banks on one of the games during the 49ers game, I believe it was, the Thursday night game early last season, because of his lack of tackling. And you watched the game, and Carl Banks is a legend in his own right and in the NFL as a whole and as a Giant, and he knows what he's talking about. Micah McFadden was brutal in that 49ers game, along with others on the Giants, so you have to almost chalk that up to the Giants staff as a whole for that. But, I mean, Micah McFadden has come leaps and bounds from that moment, and I think now you can truly look at him not as on the same level as Bobby Okereke, but a guy that you can trust and that makes that front seven deadly for the Giants when you put him alongside that pass rush and the unstoppable force that is Dexter Lawrence up the middle. Woof! We got a lot going on with the Giants here, 1222 on the Fan. When I come back, I want to get into Daniel Jones a little more, and I want to touch on why I don't believe Daniel Jones will finish the season as the Giants quarterback. That and a lot more going on here. It's the Zoo.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.